Okay, now why, what does this go?
It just came out of nowhere.
Comes, right? It seems like it's coming out of nowhere. You should know that the words of the Chachamim, there are three classes of people. People are divided in them in three classes.
Kasa Rishona.
A little bit of a cumbersome statement. But in other words, people relate to the Divrei Chachamim in three different ways. Three types of ways of relating to the Divrei Chachamim. Okay?
Kasa Rishona, Vehim Rov Asher Nifgashti Imahim, Vasher Isi Chiborehim, Vasher Shamati Alehim.
So the first group, and they are the majority of whom I've met and seen their works, their books, and heard about them.
Mevinim osam kipshatam, ve'inam masbirim osam klal.
So they take the words of the Chachamim. He's talking about like a Agadic, Medrash, Agadita. They take the words of the Chachamim. They understand the words of the Chachamim in their plain meaning, and they don't explain them at all.
V'nasu etlam kol hanimnaos mechuyavei hamatzius.
And to them, all of the impossibilities become necessary existences. So in other words, things that you would rationally say are impossible, right, because they take the words of the Chachamim literally, to them they become necessary existences.
Like
if you take certain things in the Agadita that a person would not naturally say are impossible, right? They say, well, they have to be literally true. Okay?
So that would be like dogmatic? Just like whatever the Chacham say must be absolute truth?
Well, it's not dogmatic. It's more than dogmatic. It's that they're interpreting the statements to have a literal truth. In other words, everybody... Right? In other words, it's not just that they're accepting the authority of the Chachamim, but they're accepting the literal truth as the meaning of the words of the Chachamim.
So the Chachamim couldn't foresee this happening at all? I mean,
That's a good question.
If you're going to encrypt, certain ideas to some degree, and you're going to put it into something that could possibly make sense, there's a possibility at least that people are going to take that literally.
Right. Well,
I mean, especially if you have knowledge of human psychology.
Right.
I mean, they were not.
They were not.
It's a good question. All right, let's see the full description of this class, and we'll come back to that question and other questions that arise. Go ahead.
Lo asu kein ela machmas sichlusan b'chachmos v'richukam min hamadayim.
So why do they do this? They only do this because of their foolishness in areas of knowledge, and their distance from sciences. They have no knowledge.
Vein behem min ashlemus ad kadesh yisoru al kach me'atman v'lamatzu me'orer she'yoram.
It's funny because he says they don't have enough perfection that they should become awakened to this by themselves. Meaning what? Awaken to this. What does he mean, awaken to this? To this mistake that they're making. Right? That there's a deeper meaning than the literal. And they didn't find someone who would wake them up.
Because
they are, I guess, the rove, I guess. I guess he's saying they are such a majority. They're such a majority. It's like almost like, it's like saying, like, basically there's no one else.
Right.
Because in the last group, which is the right group, he says there's almost nobody in that group. So, in other words, I guess they only come into contact with themselves, right? Or people who have no opinion about the matter. Right? Or the second group, which is not going to help them. Go ahead.
V'chein choshvim him she'ein kavanas chachamim b'chol ma'amareihim hamechukamim.
Okay, that's the essential point, though, to my mind. That's the essential point. that they think that there's no intent in the statements of the in the wise statements of the Chachamim except for what they can understand. In other words, it really is a very arrogant position. It's an extremely arrogant position to say that whatever I can see in these words, whatever I can understand from it, that is the limit of their intention. In other words, there's nothing deeper than meets the eye.
Does that mean to say that if a person encountered a deeper thing, then since he understood it,
they are encountering deeper things? What do you mean?
In other words, okay, so I barring the fact we just mentioned that they generally won't encounter someone who would explain other than the literal meaning.
He's a total simpleton. Let's say your guy is a total simpleton, right? My daughter reads a book called Amelia Bedelia, right? So they give her instructions. And she just takes them literally, right? Because she says no chokmah, no knowledge in these areas, right? Instead of saying, well, this looks strange, let me look into this, right? So a total simpleton just takes whatever they understand. Yeah, this to me means whatever it is. Draw the curtains means make a picture of what the curtains are like. That's all I see. That must be it. And that's the end of the story.
But again, right? My question is that if you were to instruct such a person, show them another idea that they were capable of understanding, would they then reject that as not being the one that they came up with? Or since they understood it, no, they would now accept it, now that they understand that idea.
I don't think they would accept it, because then they'd have to go against their whole... They'd have to give up their whole...
Even though they understand what you're telling
them. They would have to leave this class. Then you're already saying, can someone in this class... Can you nudge him out of the class?
No. I'm saying that, in other words, only on this particular point...
No, but they can't do that. You can't say only on this particular point. This is a whole approach to interpreting the words of Chacham. If you're going to say this piece of Gemara is different, this Agadita is different than that Agadita, then they're not in this class anymore. This is a class of people, how to interpret the words of Chacham. You have an idea of what the words of the Chachamim mean. You have to have a consistent idea. Do you think that the Chachamim speak plainly or encrypted, as you say? You can't say, I believe they speak plainly everywhere, but in this one spot, since you showed me something, I believe it's encrypted.
So the thing I don't understand then is, when you said that what you think is a critical point here, is that the reason they think that is because they maintain whatever it is that I see in the words is what it means.
And they're fools, so they see nothing but the words themselves.
Right. Okay. So in that case, so let's say this fool happened to see something, encounter something more sophisticated. Would his acceptance of that thing be,
Now you're doing two different things. You're really discussing a guy in the middle of the groups. You're not discussing a guy in this group. This is the guy in this group. You want to say, is there a guy who's halfway out of the group?
Okay.
Maybe. But the point is, this is a guy who thinks he's an authority on the words of Chachamim. He believes he's an authority on how to interpret Chazal. No one who believes they're an authority is going to say, I really admit, I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. Okay, this type of authority. So he has to have a conclusive idea of how Chazal talk. Because he is an interpreter of Chazal. So once you start saying he's going to accept something over here, he's already moving out of the class. Okay? But that's the bottom line. It's a type of guy who wants to be an authority in the area, and he has no knowledge at all of the ideas that the Chachamim are talking about. So he says, whatever they say, and what I see from it, knows my literal interpretation, that's what they mean. Yeah, go ahead.
So this guy could never even learn on a simple level, because everything that he saw would fit into what he already understood. So he'd never actually grow,
right?
Because there'd be no conflict,
right,
for him to get a new idea.
Right. Now, I mean, I don't want to go down this path too far, but these types of guys could work out like something that they consider like a little chachmah. You know, like they'll have maybe have a steerer and they'll work out some funny kind of answer. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they do think. They do think they're doing something, but they're totally like, you know, this was Rabbi Yehuda said this and Rabbi Meir said that. The different people, it doesn't say, you know, this is his Talmud, so he holds like him. And, you know what I mean? They'll try to work out those kinds of things, but they're not going to get into anything deeper. They'll just be more like.
Because they won't deny like a pshat contradiction. If there's a pshat contradiction, they'll address that.
They'll try to address it, but in a pshat kind of a way, in a technical kind of a way.
So with like different facts, you mean?
Yeah, that type of thing. Or I mean, you know, then it gets already into a whole different question. Like, what's your. How do you go? You know, do you say, well, he was a Babylonian? You know, I mean, there's all different kinds of ways of approaching these types of problems. He's in Eretz Yisrael, they believe a certain way, and in Babel, they believe. You know that approach. That's a whole different approach. But no one's going into the ideas. It's more like a scholarly kind of approach. Okay, go ahead. But he's saying that since they have no chokhmah, right? They're sichlusam b'chokhmos, and they're very distant from any type of scientific knowledge, and they don't have any perfection to even stir in themselves this thing, and nobody's telling them anything else, right? So therefore, they just believe that the chachamim mean whatever it says. But the point is, they think they understand the kavana of the chachamim, right? That's the main thing. They think they know the kavana of the chachamim. But it's like they make the Chachamim in their image. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. Like, what would I mean if I wrote this? Right. I would mean exactly this. Right. So the Chachamim are saying this, and I'm obviously as smart as they are. I mean, that's sort of what's going on over here, unstatedly. They can't be talking above me, mm-hmm. right? So whatever it says must be what it means. Good.
ואפל פי שיש בפשטי מקטס דבריהם מן הזרוס, על כדי שאם תספרנו כפשטו להמון העם, כל שכן ליחידיהם, היו נדהמים בכך, ואומרים, איך אפשר שיהיה בעולם אדם שמדמה דברים אלו, וחושב שהם דברים נכונים.
So he says, even though in the simple interpretation of some of their words, you get very strange things. Right? They're very strange chazal. If you take them literally, they'd be very strange. To the point that if you tell them to the masses, and certainly to people who are a little bit who are outstanding among people, they would be surprised by this, and they'd say, "How is it possible that there's somebody in the world that believes these things are true?" Like astounding things that. You look like a quack to believe in. Could you give an example?
When they see Chazal say that, you know, the maidservant's arm grew
right
out, then, you know, then they accept it because it's Chazal. And then, right. But if you told them that you saw someone.
Right. Well, like it says on Abaye is a famous one in Kedushin, right? I think people use that as an example.
Right.
You know
what? The
there was a seven-headed monster in the basement, blocking everybody from going into the basement.
Yeah.
And he was able to cut off each head and defeat the monster. Baye. He was a Baye, right?
I don't know.
I don't remember who it was.
So, he fought a seven-headed monster.
Did he sleep overnight in the basement or something like that?
Yeah.
That was an amazing part, though.
I thought
students that kept
sleeping
on. Oh my goodness!
There's
and he killed the monster.
Like Beowulf is like.
Or you can say, I think he quotes later on about that Moshe was, however many Amos high.
Oh, with Oak?
Ten. Oh yeah.
Ten
yeah,
Amos high, and he jumped up to
hit
the
heel of Oak.
Right.
He had a mountain on top of him and fell on his head.
Right, so that would make I don't know how many hundreds of feet tall.
Pretty
high. There's another Chazal that only says he was ten amos or however many amos, like a small giant.
Right. But I mean the more obvious ones are like about Hashem, you know, like Hashem puts on tefillin, you know, those types of things. Those are really serious.
So, well, that people wouldn't view you as insane if you were to say, because they would just wouldn't have any notion of
that's
God.
True. That's true.
So hold on, what is he saying that if you told the masses they wouldn't believe?
Yeah, they would be astounded. If you just tell the guys along, it would just be saying
no,
that
someone
sounds
not
crazy.
Already indoctrinated in this way.
Oh,
right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So if like
if
I went up to some random person and told them that they wouldn't.
So yeah, if you went up to someone and said Moshe was 20 feet tall and Og was 500 feet tall, you'd say yeah, and Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack grew magic beans and climbed up.
But the truth of the matter is, these same people, if confronted with the same ideas, not knowing where it came from, would probably reject them because they're like,
hey,
right,
crazy
right.
Thing.
But it's saying the fact that it came from Kuzal.
Right.
That's right. They have like a blind spot over here. Right? Well, we'll have to see exactly what it is. We'll have to diagnose this illness.
Like poison. Go ahead.
Well, that's it. Good.
Okay. Alright, Valkasa Zu Ham Musukena. Is it? Miskena?
Yeah,
Miskena.
Unfortunate.
Rahmanus al Siklusam. Lefi Shem Romumu as Hachachamim Lefi Machshavtam. Ve'inam Ela Mashpilim Osam Betachlis Hashiflus. Ve'inam Margishim Bekach.
Okay, that's what we were saying. In other words, they are. It's a terrible thing that they're doing because what are they doing? He says Shehem. It sounds contradictory, right? He says, Shehem Romamu Asachachamim Lefi Machshavosam. They think they're making the Chachamim great, right? They're only really lowering them to the lowest possible. They're not even aware of this.
Well, that's what you said last year on the Ramban.
Yeah.
They finally reached over.
That what? Oh, with the Ramban, they make the Ramban into a mystic,
the thing like with the dogs and whatever.
Right. Well, he was trying
to make him not wrong.
He was trying to work with science, but yeah.
That's like, the Sajidon that you explained to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that what it is it's describing an absurdity to God. If you were to say that God could
ascribe.
What did I say?
I don't know. Is that what you said?
I thought it was All right, whatever. That if you say that God is capable of an absurdity, limiting him by attempting to say that he's more capable.
Right. Well, he said that you can't, that the absurd is nothing. That was his thing. Right? Mm-hmm. You can't say that you can do the absurd because the absurd is not a thing.
Right, but the goal is to make him unlimited, and that's why they want to...
Right, but over here, he's saying, right, they're trying to make them... So how are they trying... How do they think they're elevating them?
They do think that this is praiseworthy. They think, they... Like saying, oh, well, this is great. I mean,
right,
this is
good.
Right. They don't treat these things as simple things. They treat this as chokhmah, right?
Right. That they had this special knowledge.
Ooh.
They had this special knowledge. Well, they had these special powers.
But how can you be saying that if at the same time...
Right, I think like Gemara says, one of Tana, his daughter lit vinegar.
Cleaned and dusty.
And,
that's a big one.
What happened?
The guy who brought his...
Turned into oil.
And, I mean, there are some cases where you can say they're Nisim, but you have to.
What about that one?
Well, she put sticks in the oven, and then there were like challahs all over the kitchen.
Or the cow thing, making a cow with a saber yitzirah and
half
cow.
Made a golem that Rava, right? They made a golem.
That was like the one of Purim, one of the Amorim brought the guy he killed back to life. That always like that one.
Well, that's the one. Avraham Aram talks about that one. Mentions that one. He mentioned that one. That is an exaggeration. He mentioned that they talk in exaggeration sometimes. Doesn't mean he was really dead. But anyway.
But if they're... How can they be exalting them at the same time as degrading?
So they think they're exalting them, but they are in fact degrading them. Because
they're
ascribing to them foolishness.
But in their minds, they're saying that...
They're great.
In their minds, they're saying that they're not... They cannot be any greater than I am.
No, they're not
that's
thinking
that.
They're not thinking that.
So the unconsciously they're thinking that, but consciously they're saying, wow, these people are so great.
Yeah, because look,
yeah,
these people
they're
are...
making them into like, in other words, it's like superheroes. They're like superheroes. Right? No, they're like superheroes. They can do amazing things that I can't do. Right? But in order to ascribe those super traits, you have to really be saying that what they're saying is literal, which he's saying is a degradation. Now you can explain a little more why. Go ahead.
Okay. The Chai Hashem.
Right.
Chai Hashem ki akasa zu ma'abdim hadar haTorah umachshichi umach
Machshichim Zohar. Right. Zohar, yeah. They are destroying the splendor of the Torah, and they're darkening its light, its gleam.
Is that literal?
Good.
The Ozim Torah Hashem, the Hevech HaMechuban Ba.
They're making the Torah of Hashem the opposite of its of what it was intended.
The Pi'ishir Hashem, Amar Al Chachmas Torahso, Asher Yishmon Es Kol HaChukim Ha'ele.
Right, and then it's going to say, Rakam Chacham V'Novam Agoya Gol Lazet.
Right. V'kas Hazu, Dorshim Mishpatei Divrei Chachamim, Devarim Asher Im Yishmom Ha'amim, Yomru Rakam Sachal V'Novam Agoya HaKadam Lazet.
So there's two things. It says the Torah itself says that if one goyim hear about the Torah, right, they're gonna say what a great wise nation this is. Right, that's what the pasuk says. That when the nations hear about the content of the Torah, they're gonna say this is a wise nation. But what these people communicate, people say, what a foolish nation. So he says that's the opposite effect that the Torah intends. The Torah intends that when people see the Torah, they're impressed with the wisdom. But when people hear what these people say, they're impressed with the well, I don't know if you call it impressed, but
wow, they're really good at that.
their impression is that of foolishness. Yeah.
It would be necessary though for them to have what the Rambam said at the beginning first though, to have a limited understanding, to not have a complete understanding of the actual world, because otherwise if they were to take it at face value and have an understanding of the world, then they would take these hysterics and say that clearly Chazal must be wrong.
That's analyzing the question.
That's analyzing the problem. What brings these people to it? Let's just finish up the cut, and then we'll come back to your question and to the diagnosis. Go ahead.
V'harve she'osim kein ha-darshanim ha-mavinim ha-mamash enam mavinim him atzmam.
Okay. So this is, many people do this. Many people are doing this. This is the greatest cut. And what are they? They're the darshanim who are trying to explain to the nation what they themselves don't understand.
These aren't all people doing this. These are just some of them, right? The
Harbei
Sheosim.
Baharbei, what's that?
Sheosim came. Many, many people who do this. So, but the entire cut is not composed of darshanim.
That's true. The entire cut, but it's of these cut you get these right. These darshanim.
Is that the majority or just a large portion?
Of the cot?
No, of
oh, of the cot is the robe, he says. The cot itself is the robe. This cot is the robe.
Okay.
I mean, you just go to any, pick any random shul on Shabbos, and probably most of the times, you'll hear something from the Rav that just, you know, it's just a chazal that he's not going to explain what it means, and he's giving it over as a plain shot. Right?
Umiyitain v'shasku kevan she'inam mevinim miyitain hacheresh tachrishun utihi lachem l'chachma.
Right, oh, they should be, who would shut them up? Because they don't understand. Who would, you know, it's a pasuk this way, miyitain hacheresh tachrishun, they should be silenced, and that would be for them l'chachma. Right. You know, I mean, they're better off not saying anything, these people, what are you saying?
Ha'alahem lomar, ein anu yodim ma ratu chachamim b'davarim elu, v'lo heach pirusha.
Well, they should say, we don't understand what chazal mean over here. We don't know what this, we don't understand the explanation of this.
Ela choshvim she'evino.
Problem is, they think they understand. That's the problem here. They think that they understand.
U'ma'amidim es atzmam l'havin ma'am ma she'evino heim atzmam.
And what they're doing is they're setting themselves up to explain to the Am what they themselves understand, right? That's what I was saying before, not what the Chacham said.
It's like we discussed before, people who set themselves up in those positions.
That's right, from the Drush Zerayim. Go ahead.
V'dorshim b'pnei ha'amon b'drashos brachos u'perchelak v'zulasam k'pshutam mila v'mila.
Right, and they just go through drashos and brachos and chelak mila b'mila. That's it. Want to learn something? We'll open up the medrash, and that's learning. You read a medrash. That's teaching somebody something. Right. Yeah. So what is the so before we get to your question, let's just see if we can identify more precisely this phenomenon. So he's saying that the things that they're saying on their face are preposterous, right? And if you would tell it to an ordinary person, they would reject it. So what is going on over here? Why do these people accept it?
That superhero image.
So they believe, they're raised, and they believe in Chazal. Right? It's a conflict. Well, this comes about from a certain conflict in the person. On the one hand, he believes in Chazal. He's a very firm person, and he has a munas chachamim, and he wholeheartedly accepts Divrei Chazal. On the other hand, he has no chachma, right? So he can't get to any deeper notions. But at the same time, he considers himself a great chacham. He considers himself in a position of knowledge.
So what's the conflict?
So these three things. So the conflict is the conflict is believing in Chachamim, and these things are preposterous.
Right, that's the conflict.
Right, that's the conflict. So the resolution is right, but then there's the third element. The third element is that he believes he has great knowledge. So the only way those three things can resolve themselves is his belief that what they say is literally true.
He's going to change.
There's no other way to do it. You got to change the realities, right?
So how can he himself accept these things that he perceives as being so absurd as truth? Is that partaking in?
He has no choice. He has to give something up. He can't give any one of those three things up. He can't give up his belief in the Chachamim, and he can't give up his belief in himself, and he can't give up the words of Chazal. He cannot. He simply is like in a vice over here. He has nowhere to turn except to escape reality.
So is this particular religious emotion?
I don't know. I mean,
no, but then he can't. But that's one of the elements. One of the elements is that he is a great chacham.
What's the words of Chazal and the belief in Chazal?
Well, the Chazal are the people, and then these are the things that they said.
So the only thing he knows about them is what they said.
No, he believes in them before that. Forget it. No, absolutely not.
The notion.
Yeah, I thought
he was raised. Though. He was raised. These are the people. He's a descendant of these people. These are great chachamim. These are the things that they say.
Transferring to Chazal, or
these are the things they say. I am a person. You have to understand. These are not amaratzim. These are guys who are bekiyim b'shas. Guys know shas bal peh. Right. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a balabas who opens up the little measure says. I mean. That's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about a guy like the Ram says there were guys in his day who knew Shas Bal Peh. Now is that guy going to say, I don't know anything about Chacham, I don't know anything about the words of Chacham? Of course he can't. Mm-hmm. You understand? It's a guy who because of certain things, he is convinced that he is a great Chacham. And he's convinced that Chazal are great people, and not liars, right? But he can't give up. He can't give up either one of those notions. So he must say, these are such great people. They're on such a high level. They're like out of the reality that we know, and therefore. I have to believe things, even about other things that are just sound astounding.
So, they have to have this conflict of but and unconsciously knowing that these things are absurd, but at the same time they're forcing themselves to believe it. So is that partaking of religious emotion where they're saying, well, because I have this conflict, that must be some sort of...
There are all sorts of conflicts that people live with and deal with at a certain point, and after that point, they're at rest with them. I mean, there are all sorts of professions and all sorts of positions that people have that probably they came to a certain point where they had struggled with it, and somehow they dealt with it, and that's the end of it. They don't continue in a conflicted way. These people at this point, maybe in the beginning they had certain conflict. Maybe a guy was a guy's a defense attorney and he has a conflict about representing evil people, but at a certain point he has to work it out somehow in his mind. He says, well, that's just my job. And then he just goes, then that's it. He's resolved his problem and he goes on with it. He's not struggling with this all his life. You're right, it's a conflict. There's a certain point where they had a chance to go a certain way and say, wait a minute, maybe I'm not such a great chacham. But somehow they get over that conflict, they resolved it, and that's it. Now they run with it. Now they set themselves up, they teach, they... Right?
But I'm wondering, what's the cause of them to accept this idea in the first place? Is it because that...
It's that their ego is apparently bigger than their attraction to knowledge.
So it's their arrogance for...
It would seem so.
Okay.
It would seem so.
That's a giant, because they want to equate themselves to the...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But that's what he's saying, that they're really mashpilim, they're really lowering the chazal. Because they're putting the chazal down on a very simplistic... Words, at the same time they're attributing these superhuman things, they're lowering them in terms of their chachma. And they're saying, somehow they were special people. But not through what really makes man special. They're not attributing the element to man that really makes man special to them, which is chachma. They're just saying somehow they're whatever, their favorite people, whatever it is, something about them, they lived in the right time, whatever it is, something about them, or they had a lot of devotion, you know what I'm saying, something about them made them into these people, but not the element that differentiates man from the animals, not the element that we consider the crown of man, which is chachma. So they're really lowering them because they're taking away that idea. And says that's why they're machshichin the Zohar of Torah, because the Zohar of Torah is chachma, and they're reducing that. They're eliminating that. They're making it into like a clan of. Special people, some certain distinction, but not
the other,
yeah.
The other nations can't recognize it because they don't have that religious attachment.
Exactly. So if you're not religiously attached to this idea that you must believe in the Chachamim, then you have no conflict. You're saying crazy.
Right.
But that's the bottom line where it comes down to. It's an inability to really accept that the Chachamim were speaking on such a high level of Chachma that you cannot even perceive what they're talking about. That's what he says. They should say, we don't know. I don't know. They can't say that. They can't say. That's the one thing that they can't say. Right? But that is the lowest, that really is the biggest degradation, because you're saying that. He's saying it's just like an ordinary work that they wouldn't say this about higher intellectual studies, right? Complicated areas of chachma. Yeah, they would say, well, we don't understand. But by saying that the chacham are speaking kipshutan, they're saying that there's nothing deep here. That's really what they're saying. There's nothing really deep here.
Why would it be that they, according to what you just said, I don't know, why would it be that they have this inability of recognizing their own personal failings when it comes to, let's say, the Chachamim, but in some other intellectual pursuit, they'd be able to make that step and say, I just have no clue what this guy's talking about. Like, why here, all of a sudden, is that become
right.
a big issue?
That's a good question. Hold on. Yeah, Michael?
Well, just like first addressing, couldn't you maybe say that because these are like their super ego figures, they specifically want to be that it would be a tremendous conflict to say that that's something that I couldn't necessarily already have.
Right.
So, like, that itself would
right.
be
these people,
bad.
A very common mark of these people is they always put everything else down. Mm-hmm. Science, man, put it all down. You know what I mean? Everything.
Had they, if that's what they valued, then they would also have the same problem in that area.
Yeah, but in those areas, you can't work these conflicts out like that.
You can't pick yourself out that you think you know abstract.
You can't work it out. You can't say, I'm a great engineer. Analogy. Just put that there and don't worry about it. You're going to find in these... You see, the problem is in areas like that, the...
We'll catch up to you.
There's a very quick proof. Exactly. Here you can succeed for a very, very long time. There's nobody there who's ma'ara them. That's the problem. Nobody there's ma'ara them. Yeah.
But so these people, the breakdown for them would come if anyone were to ask them, is it possible that the Chachamim were to be saying something that you couldn't understand?
No, they wouldn't see it. They would reject it.
No, because if they were to say yes, then they'd be admitting the greatness of the Chacham, which is what they really want to say. And if they were to say no, then they're merely revealing what they
you
truly
like this
hold.
Is like the Michael's old down 12-step program to get out of the cot.
I'm thinking of the first chapter now.
Never that easy to break down.
You have to admit that there's something greater, there's some Chacham greater than you. That's good, that's good. First step.
You gotta find sponsors.
But what about Aronson's question over here?
About
why did they do that?
Right. Well, it seems like this is a approach to the answer. Meaning, like, I guess you have a choice of either, you know, not encrypting these ideas or whatever you want to call it, just saying the direct ideas, and or putting them in this form, right?
Right.
And the harm that would be caused by that outweighs this, and these
well,
things.
Well, first of all, let's say first of all, I mean, first of all, you have to ask what is the proper
right?
way to express these ideas.
I mean, if it weren't encrypted.
No. It is encrypted. In other words, l'chatchila, what would be the best way to transmit these ideas?
Before they encrypted, just you have these ideas, you want to convey.
Yeah, exactly.
Before.
Before the and you want to convey it.
Oh, okay, right.
Not to, but maybe take one step back. Maybe take one step further back. I didn't realize I'd take this many steps back. Who would you convey these ideas to?
Which ideas are you talking about? Are you talking about the midrashim?
Yeah, the midrashim.
Okay. Fine.
To whom would you convey these ideas?
The majority of people are doing
that. Can use the ideas
to chachamim.
Right.
You only convey them to Chachamim.
Right.
Right.
But about this question,
yes.
If you're the majority of people is this one group, right? This cut, right? And it's saying that that most of these people are simpletons, right?
Right.
Is that to say that the majority of mankind are simpletons?
Yes, I think so. Majority of mankind are simpletons. But simpleton is not a good word because I mean it's a true word. It implies someone with a very low IQ.
These people are very intelligent.
Very, very intelligent. Be very intelligent.
How can they be very intelligent if they can't understand
the ideas? High IQ.
What does that mean?
I mean, they can process vast amounts of information.
Yeah.
They can maintain it in their heads.
Well, I mean, they could even have abstract thought in limited areas, though, right?
I mean,
they could be fantastic physicians. They could be terrific mathematicians.
Can they understand things?
Savantism. I mean, it's almost a form of.
No.
But I'm saying not in terms of disease.
It'd be like a guy who knows Shas. Say a guy learns Shas.
Saying that they happen to be good at memory or fact recognition or you know whatever.
Yeah, but that's not a simpleton. Simpleton can't do that. Simpleton can't memorize.
All the judgment and all the vastness of it.
And it's not an idiot savant. It's not an idiot savant. It's not like that. He really.
Then it wouldn't be relevant.
He's a normal person. I mean, he's not just. He's not a tape recorder. He does think about it. He does try to work out, like I said before, he tries to work out in halacha how do things work out.
Mathematician is not just
like a guy who tried to work out halachic questions memory, right. Just based on complicated, technical type of things. He never gets any deeper.
He just doesn't
have very analytical, like people understanding.
But he might have a block in that area. necessarily. I mean, you could even have real knowledge in other areas. You could be a physicist.
Well, he does say it's because it's also the richuk from the madayim.
Well, but apparently that itself is not
scientific. No, because he does seem to say that they are rejecting a certain deeper knowledge. They do sort of reject that.
Well, which element in this card are we talking about?
It's all caused by the way they're brought up. It's not an inherent.
Conflict over here.
You mean in terms of mankind and on the whole?
Yeah. Or is it just?
I think most
natural?
Of mankind is like this. Even scientists. Most scientists, I think.
So it's very few who make those breakthroughs.
Exactly. Very few make the breakthroughs. It's like when Newton was there, everybody just obeyed Newton. That was it. People were afraid to say anything against Newton.
So what do you mean when you said there? What does the Rambam mean when he said they're rough from not the sciences? If you're saying this is including scientists, what do you mean? I'm saying that the guy
who's in science, he does recognize as such an idea as concepts. I mean, he might. I think most of them probably. I don't know. I can't go into the nitty gritties of everybody in the world, how they think. But the point is, these people, I'm just trying to make one point. They're not idiots. They're not idiot savants. They're not simpletons. They could be highly sophisticated intellectual people.
Not capable.
But they don't view this as having depth to the ideas. They view it more like a vast, complex fact system. And they're creative in how they work the facts out. You know, they might have a shot right. on...
You know, all those people who work out, like, almost kept the entire Torah. And
yeah, yeah, right, exactly. How did they keep the entire Torah? How did Avram serve cheese with the tongue? First he had the cheese, and then he had... You know what I mean? You'll work out all different types of things. Yeah.
It sounds like you're saying that these people are, like, very good at analysis. Like, they could take large amounts of facts and... just sort of categorize and determine exactly how they all fit together. But like insofar as understanding as to what the thing's actually attempting to convey, that they would be at a loss at.
Right. Okay. We'll think about it a little more. We'll think about it a little more. Let's pick up to the end of this book. So we'll have to continue. But in other words, they want to convey the ideas to Chacham. Right? Now, what's the best way to convey these ideas to Chacham? So we say, what's that?
Say them straight out.
But then wouldn't that also go to the masses?
See, the thing, no. Forget that.
The masses are going to screw it up anyway.
I'm not talking about that. In other words, if you look through it, you'll see. There's two things. First of all, a riddle is able to contain many, many more ideas. In other words, if I am truly talking to a chacham, I know that the chacham is on the level that he's in the realm of ideas, and all he needs is certain allusions to certain to ideas.
But I can't. Hold on.
In other words, if two highly sophisticated mathematicians are talking together, they can just refer briefly to certain theorems or certain schools of thought or certain concepts. They don't have to go through the whole formulas anymore, right? So they can talk by way of allusion, remes, and that's the most efficient way. There's no reason for them to spell everything out again. All they have to do is give what they call the Rosh HaPrakim, and that's enough, right? Now, if you have in the realm of Chachma, we're saying that there are ideas, right? It's like the old question. The question is, like the Ibn Ezra, a lot of the Rishonim say that only a Maven Yavin, right? I'm going to write something here, and only a Maven is Yavin. Only someone who really is a great Chacham is going to understand it. So why write it? If he's such a great chacham, he's going to understand it anyway. And if he's not a great chacham, he's saying nobody's going to understand it. So what's the point of writing it? Right? Oh, so that's what I'm saying. But there's a level where a person is in the realm of knowledge. He knows what ideas are. And now is a certain question of refining and isolating and putting them together. There's certain work within that realm. So if you're a maven, you'll see what he's hinting at. You say, oh, he's hinting to this idea and this pshat and this pasuk. Now I see this pshat and the pasuk is a whole new, opens up a whole new area. Right? But if you're not a maven, meaning saying you're not in the realm of chachma, it's just these words don't link to anything. They're not linked to anything. Right? But if you're a chacham, then you know that certain ramazim are related to certain deep concepts. And now if I want to convey the most tightly packed packet of knowledge, it would be through these ramazim. And there's a great benefit too, because it's easy to remember. So that's the other great benefit.
So I can understand that. And I can understand the benefit of that, you know, it's fairly simple. But at the same time, is that benefit of efficiency, does that outweigh the risk?
So that's what somebody was saying. It's an interesting thing. These were never written down. And originally they were only transmitted from Chacham to Chacham, like the rest of Shas. And then they decided, Eis Lasos, that they had to write down the Shas. But there was a separate machlokas, could they write down a gadda? Even the ones who agreed they should write down the halacha, some said you should still not write down a gadda. So there was a further conflict. There was a further machlokas. Because halacha, you have no choice. The whole system is gone without writing down the halacha. But there were those who said, this is not necessary for the halacha. This is not necessary for the system. And there is a danger, so we shouldn't do it. But it was a judgment call. And you see, the ones who said it didn't have to make a judgment call, because they were not writing it down. Later, Chazal were put in a very difficult position of making a very difficult judgment call, because they knew that they couldn't preserve it in the oral form anymore.
Now the question. Always transmitted that way.
Yeah, originally it was always transmitted that way. Now is a question: should we risk losing it, or risk people making mistakes?
And then making it explicit.
But there was a position that said we should write down the halacha and you should not write down Agadita. And it still says those who write Agadita are cursed.
Where'd you say that?
It's in Masechta Sofer, right. But even though it's mutter, the ones who go around writing Agadita, I think they lose their chelik. Yeah. Even though it's mutter, it's not something that ever became an endorsed kind of a thing.